Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, my god brothers, god sisters, Gokulananda Prabhu, who pulled me out of the material world in Montreal a long, long time ago, 46 years ago. Hare Krishna. Today is the day preceding Gaur Purnima, and so I thought that this verse was particularly apt, although I'd heard that Lokanath Swami Maharaj had given a class on this verse some time back. The reason I chose this again was because his went also. That was the disappearance day of Tamalakrishna Swami Maharaj and other events, and he discussed that as well. And although I don't usually bring electronic things into the Bhagavatam forum, I'm doing it this time because I have very extensive notes on this verse. Many years back in Jagannath Puri, I started writing a book. I never finished it because it's too long, but it was basically about elaborating on very important verses. And I have 31 pages. So I doubt we're going to get through 31 pages of this book. That there are verses, but they are very interesting. Oh, Prithu, Hare Krishna. But there are very... Mahamaya, I just saw a letter Prabhupada wrote to you. He said, follow regulative principles, help me spread Krishna consciousness, especially distributing my books, and you'll go back to Godhead in this life. I was looking for one of those letters where Prabhupada's giving his guarantee. 1973 or 72, something like that. And this verse is wedded with this verse over here. There's two here, and I was quite optimistic. I was thinking that I was actually going to be coming over here to this board and writing on it. But let's see. On top of that, I'm a little under the weather. In English, that means I'm not well. And well, let's chant the verse and explore a little both the context of this verse, its importance to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and certain of the philosophical points that actually come up with this and this. Practically every time, if not every time, that Srila Prabhupada quotes Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam, he also quotes this Asam Varnam verse, or he refers to it. So and you'll see why they come together. All right, we've got 45 minutes, so let's not tarry. Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam. Sango Pangashta Parsadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. Gentlemen, Ladies, if you can see it. Let me just go to the, can you twist it back again so I can refer to it? All right, well, I guess in a way that ladies can also see. A little more towards that. No, I can't. I can't see. I think when this is a job for a woman to organize. Just, yeah, twist it a little more your way. All right. Anyway, it's fine. The translation. I won't go through the word for word because we're going to spend a long time going through the word for word. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. But let's repeat together. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Acharya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Vancha Kalpata Rubya Syaki Pasindu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. Hare Krishna. A little context and background. This verse is part of the concluding portion of a discussion between Maharaj Nimi and Navayogendras. Navayogendras are 9 of the 100 sons of Maharaj Vishabhdev. They're all Paramahamsas. They're like the Kumaras. They just travel freely throughout the universe. And like the Kumaras, they're also naked. Except that they're adults and the Kumaras are little children. And I don't know how this went on in the court of the king, because obviously there were also ladies there as well. But Bhagavatam doesn't get into details like that. And Maharaj Nimi is inquiring. He brings up different types of inquiries. This portion is he wants to know, who are the Yuga avatars? What is their color? What do they do? What are their physical features? What are their bodily features? So, Karbhajana Rishi, he then answers that question. They're all answering in turn. And in the previous verse, he's talking about the incarnation for the previous age, for Dwapara Yuga. And he said, O King, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga glorified the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga also, people worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following various regulations of the revealed scriptures. Now kindly hear of this from me. So interestingly, that while he's talking about, and of course that's quite an interesting point as to why the Yuga avatar for Dwapara Yuga appears right at the end of the Yuga, and that's when Krishna appears. Krishna appears right at the end. But different acharyas say that everyone was worshipping him by waiting for his appearance. And of course the process of worship, which is deity worship, that already began at the beginning of that age. But Krishna just appeared. Krishna saw dharma upagati. Krishna appeared right at the end of the age and ushered in, really, his disappearance ushered in Kali Yuga. So the interesting part here is that while he's talking about one thing, he's immediately coming into, but in Kali Yuga, and he says two things. Nana tantra vidanena. That in Kali Yuga, people now follow the tantras. Tantras means that they're following, particularly Narada, Pancharatra. They're following, as opposed to following the Vedas themselves, or being able to study, by that I mean the four Vedas and the Upanishads, tantras, and within that also, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is also there. And then he does something that he hasn't done up to now, and he says, Tata Srinu. Krishna says this also in the Bhagavad Gita, Tata Srinu, just listen to me. So this is not just a scriptural tool, but we all do this. When we have something important to say, then we say, okay, now listen carefully to what I'm going to say. So he says, Tat Srinu. Up to now, he's repeated this, but now he, because he's going to say something very special. Because what he's saying now only happens once in a day of Brahma. It's a special occurrence, this particular incarnation. And then he says the verse, Krishna Varnam Tisa Krishnam. And then we'll come back to that. All of these incarnations, all of these Yuga avatars are discussed in few verses, 4-5 verses. The following two verses, just by the way, who knows this verse off by heart? Hare Krishna. Okay. I wouldn't want Prabhupada to be sitting here looking at those statistics. Hey, don't take away my verse. And the following verses, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam, these are also very important verses, which further go on to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just read the translation. My dear Lord, you are the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Personality of God, and I worship your lotus feet, which are the only eternal object of meditation. Those feet destroy the embarrassing conditions of material life and freely award the greatest desire of the soul, the attainment of pure love of Godhead. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the shelter of holy places and of all saintly authorities in the line of devotional service, and are offered by powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, honored. My Lord, you are so kind that you willingly protect all those who simply bow down to you with respect, and thus you mercifully relieve all the distresses of your serpents. In conclusion, my Lord, your lotus feet are actually the suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, and therefore even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva seek shelter at your lotus feet. There's another verse that ends, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. And then he concludes this topic with the following verses. He says, thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent humans, and again, this he Sumedasa is being emphasized. Intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names that the Lord manifests in different ages. But then he comes back. In other words, this was a generic glorification of all the incarnations. He says, those who are actually advanced in knowledge and are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali, such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfections of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. Indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord's Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. And then it continues on. So in the purport to these verses, which quotes often Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's described that even the residents of Satyaloka aspire to take birth in Kali Yuga. Now in Satyaloka, there's no quarrel, there's no wars, there's no disease, people are very happy. They're more or less already self-realized and free from bodily identification, and yet they're looking to take birth in Kali Yuga. Because that process of meditation that they undergo, generally, unless they happen to get some very special association, will not give them the same fruit and the same benefit as can be gotten by those who are very unfortunate, because those who are living here in Kali Yuga are unfortunate in that sense. But still, they can get this benefit of being able to go back home, back to Godhead, meaning going back home to Goloka Vrindavan, going back home to Braj. So this is sort of the context of this verse, and it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita at different occasions. One is where Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this takes place in Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already arrived, and he's in the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who thinks this is some kind of sentimental sannyasi who's just become sort of overwhelmed by emotion. And Gopinath Acharya says, no, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he quotes this verse. That's one side. That's a very interesting argument that goes on, because they argue between each other, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, well, how do you know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he quotes a verse from 10th canto, Prasada Leshanu Grihita Evahi. Because Krishna can only be known by his mercy. In short, he's saying, he's my schoolmate, I went to school with him. I have his mercy, you don't. But when you do, then you'll also realize who he is. Another one comes a little later, and this was not in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the verse is quoted when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is and Maharaj Pratap Rudra, they're standing on top of the palace, the king's palace, and they're seeing the devotees from Navadvip arriving to Puri with Sankirtan. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would always go, you know, there's a bridge, Artanala Bridge. It has 18 supports. And Lord Chaitanya would go to there, or he would send Swarup Damodar with garlands and chandan for the devotees, and then he would meet them somewhere along the way. But the devotees would come and they were chanting Sankirtan, and Maharaj Pratap Rudra said, what is this kirtan? I've never heard this type of kirtan before. Obviously, he's heard kirtan. He's not living in Puri, because he's living in Katak, that's his capital, but he's visiting Puri on regular occasions, especially for Rath Yatra. And he's heard kirtan, but he says, what is this? And so he quotes this verse. First he says, that's a special type of kirtan. It is called Prema Sankirtan. It's Sankirtan that's chanted by those who actually have love of God, which is a different type of sankirtan. And for that reason, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also advised that when devotees do Harinam, there should be one Mahabhagwat on the Harinam party to sort of raise the quality of the holy name or the standard of the chanting. So he says, no, but what you're hearing, this is actually the Yuga Dharma. And he quotes the verse, Yagyai Sankirtana Praharya Jantihi Sumedasa. And the third one, which is a very interesting one, is Sanatan Shiksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion to Sanatan Goswami, starting with the 20th chapter, but this is in 20th chapter. This is in the 20th chapter where Lord Chaitanya talks about incarnations and he also talks about the Yuga avatars. So Sanatan Goswami is the prime minister. So he's very smart. I mean, aside from being very learned, I think he spoke 7 languages. And aside from being fluent in 7 languages, being very learned in Shastra, he was a prime minister. So that means he was diplomatic. He had diplomatic smarts. He knew how to interact with people. And so when Lord Chaitanya is talking about the different Yuga avatars, then Sanatan Goswami says, well, how can I understand who's the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga? And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes the verse, Krishna Varnam Tasat Krishnam, because this is what's stated in the Bhagavatam. And he describes that there are the Swarup Lakshan and the Tatastha Lakshan. Everything has its Swarup Lakshan and Tatastha Lakshan. This microphone has the Swarup Lakshan of conducting and amplifying sound, and in other words, that's its primary character or qualification. And the secondary qualification is it's made of metal and it's black in color. So these are secondary details. So also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the Swarup Lakshan, or the primary qualifications of an incarnation, are his bodily features, his color, his influence. And his secondary qualifications are the activities that he is actually doing. In this case, it's Yagyai Sankirtana Praya. So the Sankirtan is the Swarup Lakshan, and Krishna Varnam Trisat Krishnam, which we'll get into, is actually his swarup. So Sanatan Goswami says, well then, as far as I can understand, his golden complexion, his yellowish complexion, and his very attractive bodily features, as well as his distributing love of Godhead, these are the characteristics of the Kali Yuga incarnation. Am I right? Of course, Sanatan Goswami may be a minister, but Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows what he's leading up to. He wants Lord Chaitanya to admit that he's the Yuga avatar. So he says, Sanatan, stop your clever tricks. And he changes the subject. Lord Chaitanya changes the subject, and he moves, I know what you're up to. Stop your tricks. And now he moves on. So these are the 3 times that this verse is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada calls this verse the most important verse in relationship to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity. And he also calls it a very special verse. It's important in terms of establishing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divinity, albeit his name here is not directly stated. There are other places in scriptures where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is directly spoken. For instance, there's the Chaitanya Upanishad, which some academics have difficulty with. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur located Chaitanya Upanishad. It was very rare. There are also other texts, for instance, in Bhavishya Purana, Krishna is telling Vyasadeva that I will appear as Sachi Sutta. I will appear as the son of Sachi. And this other verses, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. So it's mentioned elsewhere, but here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is not immediately disclosed. Of course, neither are the other Yuga avatars that precede it. Nonetheless, and now Srila Prabhupada says that the members of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, while they accept the process of Sankirtan, they don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. They don't even accept him as Vishnu Tattva. They think that he's a great devotee. And we see, for instance, a similar phenomenon in Chaitanya Charitamrita, another argument between Balabhavata and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a few of these that go on. But Balabhavata, who you know is the founder of the Pushtimark Sampradaya, and which is very, very popular in parts of India and spread different parts of the world as well. Anyway, on one time in Puri, he had some difficulty. He had difficulty with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity at one point. He had problems with the philosophy. Later on, he had some interaction with Rupa Goswami in terms of the definition of pure devotional service. He sort of critiqued the Anyabilasita Sunyam verse. Fortunately, Jiva Goswami overheard it, and then later on, when Balabhavata left Rupa Goswami and moved on, and Rupa Goswami was very polite, he just said, "Thank you very much, I'll make the correction." Then Jiva Goswami followed him and he said, "You want to make a correction on Rupa Goswami?" And anyway, he defeated him, but Rupa Goswami didn't like it. He didn't like, "Why are you so proud that you're challenging this Brahmana?" Anyway, here the issue that came up was that Balabhavata says, "What kind of Yuga Dharma is this? That you're chanting, we the Jivas are Prakriti. We're the female, the feminine aspect of reality. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Purusha. He's everybody's husband. Everyone knows that the basic religious principle is that a wife never calls her husband by his name." Prabhupada had said that. And Chaitanya, "So what kind of religion is this? That you're just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Everyone is chanting Krishna's name. You're all chanting the names of your husband. So what kind of dharma is this?" Lord Chaitanya said, "You don't understand." This wasn't the only time Lord Chaitanya told him, "You don't understand." He says, "You don't understand. It is more important to follow the order of the husband than it is to follow secondary religious principles. And the order of the husband is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, that you must chant my name. Therefore, this is the Yuga Dharma." Again, Balabhavata went away embarrassed. Let's look at these verses, these words. And I have limited time, so I'm going to just try to pick a few. There are some very, very wonderful commentaries that go along. Words are actually the phrases. So here, phrases are Krishna Varnam, Tusha Krishnam, Sangopangashta Parshadam, Yagyar Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti, He, and Sumedasa. Let's see if we get there. Let's start off with Krishna Varnam. Srila Prabhupada points out, the comments that I'm making are from some of our acharyas, mainly the ones that Srila Prabhupada is quoting, Kaviraj Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada explains that this Krishna Varnam and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. And he gives certain reasons for that. He says why? Well, because the word Krishna appears with both Krishna Chaitanya, because that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's initiated name, his sannyasi name, Krishna Chaitanya, and also with Krishna Shamasundar. Shamasundar means Krishna. So therefore the implication of the name of the nomenclature is also the same. Something that's repeatedly emphasized by acharyas is that Gaura or Krishna Chaitanya is always chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he's always chanting Krishna, Krishna because he's also indicating indirectly that he is only Krishna. And the evidence of this is that when people see him, just by seeing him, they remember Krishna. They become Krishna conscious. So, and they start to chant the holy name. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, Prabhupada uses just these arguments, as sort of preliminary arguments, that when we talk about Krishna Chaitanya, we're talking about Krishna himself. And this Krishna Varnam, so this Varna has different meanings, it has multiple meanings. Kaviraj Goswami says that the syllables Krish and Na are always in his mouth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always repeating Krishna, 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 Krishna. And he's always describing Krishna. So Prabhupada also says not only this Varnam, Krishna Varnam means that he's speaking the name of Krishna, but it means that he's giving us emphasis on chanting Krishna's holy name. So Srila Prabhupada cites a definition and he says Krishna Varnayati Iti Krishna Varnam. He says that person who's always chanting the word Krishna, that is called Krishna Varnam. So that constant chanting of Krishna's name is called Krishna Varnam. A regular usage of the word Varna that we're used to using is we talk about different Varnas. So we talk about Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. So Varna becomes a category. So when you say Krishna Varnam, that means the person you're speaking about here who's Trisha Krishna, he's in the same category as Krishna. So Krishna Varnam means he's the same category. Who's Krishna? Well, that's already been described up to now quite at length throughout the different cantos. And the first canto began by saying that he is Swayam Bhagavan. So how does the verse go? Ete Changsa, thank you. Ete Changsalak Pumsam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And Krishna Varnam means he's in the same category. He's not just Vishnu Tattva. He's in the same category. And there's some very wonderful explanations for that. Srila Prabhupada gives a very unique, a very interesting explanation of this word Varnam. He says, Varna refers to the luster of the living entity's original identity. In other words, the complexion of one's swarup, in a general sense, I guess, because ultimately different people may have different complexions in their swarup, but it's golden. And so Krishna Varnam means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he's Krishna, he's reflecting the complexion of the jivas, of the living entities. In other words, he's also taking on the identity of a jiva, of a living entity. I thought that was quite interesting. And Prabhupada, of course, then says that while internally he's blackish, and we'll come to that. While internally he's blackish, but externally he's actually Gora. So that comes in the meaning of the Twisa Karnam. Krishna Varnam also means that the grammatical process which Jiva Goswami later introduced in terms of explaining the entire grammatical format of Sanskrit language in his two books, these are all in terms of Krishna's names. So Krishna Varna also refers to the fact that later in the future, and this is Srila Prabhupada's explanation, that this Harinamamrita Vyakaran, that Jiva Goswami will explain Sanskrit language in the context of Krishna's names, because this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did once he actually came back from Gaya. After he received Diksha, he began to actually teach, because he was also a grammar teacher, he began to teach grammar in the context of Krishna's names. He explained everything in terms of Krishna's name. So Krishna Varnam also refers to that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I'm just sort of racing with time, but I won't be able to get through something. I'm just picking some of the nice things. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes Sridhar Swami's commentary. And Sridhar Swami gives a very interesting explanation for Krishna Varnam. And now remember, Sridhar Swami is even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. He's the first commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's saying that this incarnation, he will appear in Navadvip. And as a little boy, he's going to crawl up into the places where the discarded cooking pots have been kept. And because he's messing around with, you know what happens with these clay pots, the bottom is all black. So his body is going to become completely covered in soot. And he's going to become Krishna Varnam. So this Krishna Varna refers to that incarnation who's going to come. This is Sridhar Swami explaining. It's very, very nice. He says, Yena Indra Nilamani. He'll look just like Indra Nilamani. He'll look just like a sapphire covered, although he's actually golden in complexion. I'm going to go on to Twisa Krishnam. And that also introduces this verse, which is important down here. I'm just going to read this verse for you, in case some of you won't be able to see it because it's low down. Asan varna trayo hyasya grinatu nyugatam tanu suklo raktas tatapita idanim krishnatam gata. Now this verse is spoken during Krishna's nam karna. When Krishna's name-giving ceremony takes place, this is in the 10th canto, and Gargamuni is coming, and of course this takes place within the within the barn. So I'm still getting coming to grips with speaking English. It takes place within the barn, and he says this verse. He talks about Krishna, but he explains that this boy has different features and incarnations. And please remember when I said that Srila Prabhupada either quotes or refers to this verse every time he uses that verse. Now, Twisa Krishnam, and I'm not going to stand up, gets divided in two ways. It can be divided in Twisa Krishnam, which is just Krishna, starting with K, the second word, or Twisa Akrishna. So Twisa means complexion. So it can say his complexion is Akrishna, which is the general understanding. It means that it's non-black. Or Twisa Krishna means that his complexion is black. and we'll see if we can actually explain both of those. But Tvista Akrishna is the general understanding. It means that his complexion is A. You know, when it's prefixed with an A, Krishna is prefixed with an A, then it means not black. Krishna means black. Aside from it also meaning Krishna, it also means black. So he doesn't have a blackish complexion. Okay, but anything can be black. I mean, white, anything can be not black. White is not black, blue is not black, pink is not black. What complexion is it? Therefore, this verse is very important because it says over there, well, you can't see. It's all right, Mataji, they won't. Sukla raktas tata pita. Short joke. My grandfather used to have a good sense of humor. Days of yore when we were sitting by the dining table and we were watching TV and my grandmother opened the kitchen, the door in front of the television. This is a anti-feminist joke. Not that he was against women. And my grandmother was looking in the fridge and my grandfather said, Serka, that was her name. I don't know if there's an English equivalent. It says, I can see through the refrigerator door, but I can't see through you. Hare Krishna. I thought I would get a better laugh than that, at least from the men. Okay, Hare Krishna. Sukla raktas tata pita. Pita means yellow. There's no argument there. So this verse comes out. The translation is like this. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now, he has appeared as a blackish color. Prabhupada says, in another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Sukha, a parrot. All such incarnations are now assembled in Krishna. Now, there's a very fantastic explanation of this verse. And this takes place between Brahma and Narada Muni. Lochan Das Thakur describes this in his Chaitanya Mangala. And Narada and Brahma are talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I hope I can cite two particular points that they will. And Brahma is explaining this verse to Narada Muni. This is what the demigods also do. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote about this trip that they were having from Krishnagar into Calcutta with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared to have fallen asleep. And when he came back to consciousness, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, what were you doing? And he said, oh, I went to Swarga. Brahma, Narada, and demigods, they were having a discussion on the Bhagavad Gita verse. I think it was Apichet Sudaracharo. So they asked me my opinion, so I gave them my opinion. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And so Brahma is explaining this verse. Now here he says, your son has appeared, Sukla. He appeared in a white form. So that is way back in Satya Yuga, the incarnation, also discussed here in Bhagavatam. And he has different names. He's called Hamsa. He has four arms teaches the process of meditation and austerity. Rakta. This is the reddish form of the Lord who comes out of the fire of sacrifice in Tapaloka. The Kumaras the Prajapatis worship him. So he was also in the next stage. Tata, Pita, and then yellow, and Idanim Krishnatam Gata. So here actually the context is past, and then in the end he says Idanim. Now Idanim means in the future or now. Excuse me, it means now or it means in the immediate future. So it's quite interesting. He says, In the past he appeared, and he has appeared now here as Krishna Tam. And he's referring now to Krishna, who's present. Tata Pita. And the order, usually when you give chronological order, you talk about past, present, and future. But here now what we have is past, it's going to be the future, and the present. So by default then, this Pita becomes the future. So, Sukla Raktas Tata Pita Idanim Krishna Tam Data. So the incarnation who appears in the future becomes the incarnation, the yellow incarnation. And this is when we talk about Trisakrishnam, so he's explaining. He cited this verse to explain this Trisakrishnam. That Akrishna then doesn't mean just any other color, it means this particular color. And then why is it out of sequence? Why doesn't he say it past, present, and future? And Lord Brahma answers Narada Muni, he says, because he wants to make a distinction that the one at the end is different than the ones in the beginning. Because the argument can come up, well, all right, but Suklo Raktas, these are Amsa avatars, these are incarnations. So is this other one, Pita and Krishnatam, are they also just incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he says, no. That's why he's there at the end. He's there at the end to distinguish him from the others. And that's why even the standard chronological order is upset in order to make this type of emphasis. So then is the Pita, is he an incarnation? He's not Swayam Bhagavan. No, he's a covered incarnation. So that's, but he's also Swayam Bhagavan, but he's in the form of a Vaishnava, in the form of a devotee, and therefore he's not emphasized in the same way as the Supreme One. Okay, but Narada Muni asks, and this is very wonderful, all right, but tell me, explain to me where in Shastra there is statement that after Krishna, Krishna actually appears himself as in a Pita, in a golden form, and it's Swayam Bhagavan. So Lord Brahma says, don't you read Bhagavad Gita? And of course Narada Muni says, of course I read Bhagavad Gita. He says, well, it's in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, Yadaida hidharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujaniyam paritanaya sarunam vinasa chuduskitam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavani yuge yuge. So don't you see? Brahma says, Swambhava, I appear yuge, I'm here in this age. And I'm appearing yuge, and I'm coming in the next age. So, within the Bhagavad Gita, here is the explanation. Brahma says, yes, here he is, Shijami Aham. I'm coming personally, manifest by my full transcendental potency, as Prabhupada explains in the purport. I'm present here in this age, Sambhavami Yuge, and I come in the next age, Yuge. I thought that was quite wonderful. When I heard that, I was like, never heard such a thing before. So there's so many other things to say, but things are limited. The Tusa Krishnam, if we take the other Tusa Akrishna, Tusa Krishna is that his complexion is blackish. There are different explanations. Prabhupada quotes one of the introductory verses by Jiva Goswami where he says, Anta Krishna Bahir Gaura, that inside, internally, he's Krishna, and externally, he's Gaura. And time's up. But there's very one wonderful thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. He says, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, devotees in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, in Bengal, in Orissa, they see this Gaura. And they see him as Tusha Akrishnam. They see him in his golden complexion. And they will also see him Tusha Krishnam, like Ramananda Roy. He says, and this is happening even to the present day. So, considering that tomorrow is Gaur Purnima day, we have the opportunity. Here is Tusha Krishna. He's in the form of Krishna, and there he is in the form of Tusha Akrishna. We have the opportunity to see him in both of those forms. And with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's blessings, Jiva Goswami also says a thing like that. Even today, devotees are seeing the Lord with their very eyes. So we see him in the form of the deity, and if he decides to reveal himself, we'll see him also in that other form, which is non-different than the deity. Well, that's as far as I can go. There's a lot more, but Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.